All right, enough suspense. So what is it? When each of our children have just been born, Kathy has been absolutely overwhelmed by an immense tidal wave of love for this new little person they have just put into her arms. Well, of course, you say. Mothers love their babies. We all see moms loving their kids. But no, I'm talking about something a little different. This first love for a newborn is so great, so wonderful, so unexpected, so undeserved, so out of proportion, so unexplainable. There's a sense of protection in it that no adversary could overcome. I mean, a newborn's mother will rise up and fight off lions and tigers to protect her child. And she would win. That's how deep this love for a newborn goes. This little baby has yet done nothing. And this flood of love rises up to make that child the most important person, the most important cause that this mother has ever undertaken. And it's not just for the first baby, I've noticed. No, each child of hers receives a new version of this love, which is tailored perfectly for that baby. I'm sure this is important because I think Jesus himself recognized something very similar. It's an introductory comment to something else in John 16, it's verse 21. Listen, whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Now, my words can't do justice to the depth and the intensity of a mother's first love for her child. But I think Jesus is alluding to it. Now, why is this important to me today? Well, because I think that this thought is connected to something very fundamental in our Bibles. And so I'd ask you to open to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 27. I'll read it while you're finding it. It's probably on page 2. Okay? So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We're in Genesis 1. This is day 6 in the creation story. Everything has been created, and God has created mankind. It's a Hebrew word, Adam. It basically means earth creature, okay? And God has created Adam to rule over everything else that he has made before. The word for mankind, Adam, we say as Adam. He is the image bearer of God, it says here in verse 27. Now that means that Adam reflects and reveals something of the nature of who God is. So we can look at Adam and we can learn about the character of God. You see the principle? See how it works? I want you to notice that in the second half of verse 27, that Adam is further defined to include two kinds of humanity. One kind is male, the other kind is distinctly female. These are different kinds of Adam. Different kinds of humanity, and each reveals something of who God is. So some of our understanding of God, therefore, comes through the nature of men and other important ideas of God are made clear to us through the nature of women. This is Mother's Day, so pardon me if I neglect the men completely today and focus on the female side of this revelation of God. What can we learn about God from this female he created? This is what takes me back to my observation about mothers at the birth of their babies. There is an intense love for her baby that comes from the very core of a woman's heart, from the depths of her soul for loving this little child. And my observation is that it's near to a universal experience of mothers. It's always more than you would expect, and it's certainly different than a father's experience at the same point. I take this to be an expression of the very love of God for each one born, being poured out from the Lord through the heart of the mother toward her child. Now, if I'm right about this as a near universal experience, then it's pretty fair to say that every child comes into this world in the bonds of love, because God pours that out through the mother's heart. I did, and so did every one of you. You were loved before you ever did anything. Before your first breath, you were loved. Before you cried out, you were loved. You were loved despite the inconvenience that your birth created. You totally reorganized the relationship between your parents. Everything was modified now to make room for you and your life as the focus of their love for you. The love of God came to you through your mother. It was the air you breathed. It was the warmth you lived in. It was the security that kept your tiny little life in peace. You see, God's love for you was everything that you needed, everything that you wanted, and it all came to you through your mother's God-given love for you, tailored perfectly to who you are. And so when I think about Mother's Day, this is the thought that comes to me. This is the first thing that you can be thankful for today on Mother's Day, that God poured his love into you from your first breath. Have you ever thought about it that way? Have you ever understood that before? Do you see that you can never say that God has not loved you? What an amazing thing this is, that God reveals who he is through the love of a mother for her child. In Leviticus chapter 19, the first three verses read as follows. Listen to this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" That's big stuff, right? You shall be set apart from the world. You shall be different from every other group of people. And then he goes on immediately to this thought in verse 3. "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." When God says, "I am the Lord your God," this is serious, important stuff. What a remarkable passage. God says that the whole congregation of Israel needs to hear this. "Be holy, be like me," says the Lord. "Be set apart from the world so that you can live your life to bring glory to God." First question, how do we do that, Lord? Answer, verse 3. The first thing God says is to honor your mother. He mentions father second in this verse. This whole issue of authority and respect for our mother is so important that the Lord put it into the Ten Commandments. Then he repeats it here in Leviticus. He doesn't give up. Paul is commenting on this very concept in Ephesians chapter 6. Listen, he speaks directly to us as children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, parentheses, which is the first commandment with a promise. Then he goes on, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. He quotes the Old Testament verbatim. And Paul points out that there's a promise from God associated with this command. There's something good that will result. Obedience and respect to our parents, reverence for them, if you will, honoring them, will result in things going well in your life. That should be enough incentive for any of us, right? Don't you want it to go well in your life? The relationship you have with your parents is that important, God says. And when you live it rightly in your youth, it will bless you in adulthood. Learn what God wants you to learn from your mother, is the message on Mother's Day. Then it will go well for you. Listen to the teacher in Proverbs, chapter 6, it's 20 through 22. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. When she teaches you about God and his law, listen to her. Take her words into your mind and into your heart. Do the same with your father's teaching, he says. When you go through your days, when you walk through your life, her teaching will guide your steps. Do the same with your father's teaching. When you're sleeping, the preacher here in Proverbs says, the fact that you have lived rightly and well will watch over you and protect you. When you wake up, you'll be thinking about what your parents have taught you, and then you'll live it some more. And so if you listen to wise counsel from your mother, you will not be wondering how you should live. You will know it. You will know it. People who learn God's ways from the beginning save lots of time and sorrow in their lives because they know what to do. And this is another way in which our mothers have blessed us. It's the second thing I think we can all be thankful for on Mother's Day. She gave you right teaching and wisdom from your earliest days, and your adult years will benefit from following it. Now, we see this concept painted through the generations of one family in the New Testament in particular. Paul writes in the book of 2 Timothy, he says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well." Now, sometimes we think that Timothy was a very young guy, that he was timid and somehow needed Paul to encourage him to action. I disagree. Timothy was by no means timid. Timothy had been in ministry with Paul for at least 12 years, maybe 14. They had traveled together. They had done ministry together. Timothy is a mature adult, certainly mature in his faith, and he is very well experienced in ministry. His mother and his grandmother had believed in Jesus before he did. The grandmother's faith in God had affected his mother's faith in God. And when Timothy heard about Jesus, he believed. He believed. One of the reasons Timothy was so willing to hear the gospel was that his grandmother's and his mother's lives had been changed by Jesus Christ. He knew it. He could see it. These women were steeped in the truth of the Bible, and they lived it out before Timothy every day in a very credible way. Timothy knew their influence. Timothy knew their love in his life. And so their faith was something that he could trust as well. They were instrumental in Timothy's conversion. And Paul rejoices here that Timothy's faith was just as solid as the women before him. For a mother to live a life of real faith in Jesus Christ before her children, even if they are not so small, this is a vital and important work of ministry. Timothy's effectiveness was seeded by his mother and his grandmother living out their faith. And Timothy rose to be Paul's most trusted lieutenant. You see, mothers have great impact on the ministry of the church. This is the third thing that you can be thankful for on Mother's Day. You know, I think back at the history of this church. I think of the Banfield family, of how generation after generation after generation, faith in Christ has carried forward. And the women in that family were significant in impacting the children. But you know, we can go one step further. We can talk about the life of Jesus himself. The relationship of Jesus and Mary is played out for us in the Gospels. In Luke, in chapter 2, we get the only stories in the whole Bible from Jesus' boyhood. You may recall this. Every year, Luke tells us, the family of Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast celebration. They were not wealthy people, but they made sure that they took the long hike from Galilee down to Jerusalem every year. And they would travel in groups. So it was not uncommon for the group to gather after the feast and to all head north again back to Galilee. On the way home, Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was walking with the Nazareth group. But he had stayed behind because he wanted to go to the temple and sit with the Jewish teachers in the temple courts and talk about God. When they missed him, Joseph and Mary went back and they spent 3 days searching Jerusalem for their 12-year-old boy. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the fear and the anxiety building over 3 days of not knowing where your child is? Well, they finally found Jesus in the temple, and they found him in a rousing discussion with the scribes and the teachers there in the temple. Now, what do you think Mary had to say to Jesus? She said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." I think she toned it down a little bit. Mary, as she speaks to her 12-year-old, Mary is reestablishing the most basic principle that respect for parents is essential to a 12-year-old. She is thinking that Jesus has acted irresponsibly and with disrespect for her feelings. You can understand why she would think that. But you know this story. Jesus protested when she said that. He said, "I'm doing my heavenly Father's business." And Mary didn't quite understand that. But she clearly understood the Old Testament principle that her son should respect her authority. And as Luke goes on in this story, he comes to verses 51 and 52, which read, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart." Jesus, at 12, heard what his mother said to him. She was just quoting to him the Old Testament truth of respect for your mother and your father. And Jesus subjected himself to her in just that way. Jesus affirms with his own obedience this principle of submission to parents. Mary was right. And although Jesus had not actually violated any rules, his response to her was to give her his obedience. And Luke closes the chapter by saying, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men." You grow in stature with people by living rightly and by living well. None less than the Son of God affirms this principle for us here. So we need to pay attention to it. But that's not the end of the story. When Jesus was in the early days of his ministry, we see another instance, or we see this instance of respect for his mother, but when he was in the later days of his ministry, we find another. Jesus is now about 30 or so years old. He and Mary are invited to a wedding reception, and in the course of the party, the host runs out of wine. Now, these are friends of Mary's. That is a major embarrassment for the host to run out of wine. Mary comes over to Jesus, and she tells him, "The host has run out of wine." This is obviously something she cares about. She simply states the situation. But it is clear that she expects that Jesus is going to take the hint and do something about this problem that bothers her. Jesus' answer to her is, "My time has not yet come." He's not ready to do miraculous things in public yet. That will come later on, he implies, but not yet, not now. Mary walks over to the servants and she says to them, "That's my son over there. Do whatever he tells you." And then she walks back to the party. So just imagine this scene. Jesus hears her speak those words to the servants, and he looks at her with a face that says, "Mom, I don't want to do this. It's not my time yet. Why are you doing this to me?" says the face. And she looks back at him with a face that says it all. I know this because it's the exact same face that my mother, as she sat in the car waiting for me to walk around and open the door for her, she would look at me with this face. And what that face says is, "Because I'm your mother, that's why. What more do you need to know?" Jesus clearly states he's not interested in doing the miracle, but then he does it. He does it. Why? I think it's to honor his mother. It is to respect her wishes and to please her. And in doing that, others then get helped, interestingly. The host is saved from disgrace, which was Mary's purpose. The guests are enabled to have a good time at the party, which was definitely their purpose. The servants are the first to see Jesus exercise his miraculous power. And the result of that was that the word about Jesus began to spread in Galilee. By honoring his mother, so much good came forth. This principle of honoring God through faithful obedience to our parents is understandable because the law of God has taught us all to understand our father and our mother. Jesus honored Mary even to the last hour that he was alive on this earth. In John 19, we have the horrific experience of crucifixion, of Jesus alive but on the cross in agony. And John tells us he's bearing the judgment of God against the sin of all who would ever believe in him. John tells us that Mary was standing by the foot of the cross with a couple other women there. And John was standing next to them. And so from the cross, Jesus speaks to Mary, and he tells her that John, the apostle, will act in his place toward Mary after he is gone. Jesus said that John will take on the responsibilities of caring for Mary, as Jesus would have done if he remained alive on this earth. Jesus was honoring his mother from the cross. From the cross, as he breathed his last. And Jesus told John to take care of her, which John tells us in chapter 19 he did for the rest of her life. From his earliest days until his very last hour, Jesus lived to honor his mother. The evidence is everywhere. He obeyed the command of God. And so the pattern is set for us, not simply by the written word, but by the living word, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So whether we are young or in the middle or older yet, we can, I say we must, give honor to our mothers. And what better time to do that than today, on Mother's Day? So I say to you, give thanks to God for your mom, because it's right. It's what God wants you to do. It doesn't matter whether your perception of her was good and happy, or whether it was negative or sad. Give thanks anyway. It's what God wants you to do. In fact, it's what God demands of you. Now, I know that there are some who hold regrets, who have lingering angers. No, God says, let it go. Let it go. And let God bring some healing into your heart, because there's no value ever in hanging on to disappointment. That gets you nowhere. So if you have memories that are pleasant, then certainly rejoice in them and give thanks for your mom for every one of those things. If you have memories that are difficult, let them go and let God bring healing to you. If you're a child, tell your mom just how much you love her. Do something to please her today. Remember her in a good way today. Just to give honor and just to experience the joy of doing what God wants you to do. This is a great day to live out the command of God to honor your mother. Let's just take a moment, quietly, each one of us. Pray your thankfulness to God for your mom. Tell her yourself today if you can. Do something to show your respect. Obey the command of God, and it will go well with you. take a few moments to think and pray about these things. And then we're going to sing together, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."